Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Faye Clark.
Good morning. We've got a great declaration today. So, the declaration for today is, I declare I have the grace I need for today. I am full of power, strength, and determination. There's a lot in there. So there's lots of scripture today, so we're going to be spending a lot of time in the Bible. I love that, so get your pages ready to rustle. Don't wrestle with the pages, don't want them to fall out. So, I love what Pastor Shane just said, it's great to declare things, and we can declare them, but it's great to understand what we're actually declaring. And I've really found this series helpful in starting to speak great things and learning when to speak and when not to speak. So to try and speak positive things, because that's going to bring fruitfulness rather than negative things that is not going to produce fruitfulness. So when I was preparing, I really felt that God was saying, it's a really amazing declaration, but we need to understand what we're declaring. And so we're going to break it down. Not in a dance, because I'm not very good at breakdancing. So we're going to start with the first bit. I declare I have the grace I need for today. And I was thinking about the word grace and how much, as Christians, we band that word around. And I thought I understood what it meant till I started to look at what it meant. And started to realise I didn't understand as much as I thought I did about the word grace. And I don't know whether you know this, but grace is mentioned 170 times in the Bible. That is a lot. So that says to me that we need to understand it, we need to know about it, and also we need to do something with it, because it's in there a lot. So I've got two kind of descriptions of grace. So the first one is, grace is God's unmerited favour. Okay. Grace is God doing all the great things for us that we actually don't deserve. And in the Bible, you've got grace and mercy, and they go together like two heads of the same coin. So, you know, if paying heads or tails, it's like having a coin that's got heads on both sides, and you call heads, and you're a winner every time. I'd like a coin like that when I'm playing heads and tails, because I always lose. So it's like they go hand in hand, basically. They go together. Mercy is God withholding the judgment that we deserve. Okay, and grace is God giving us blessing that we don't deserve, but that's because of God's mercy. Okay, I do not receive the judgment of God against my sins because of God's grace. I actually receive eternal life and a promise of heaven, even though I don't deserve it. And I was like, that one statement in itself, I was like, well, we don't need to say anything else, God, do we? Because that is what our whole walk of God is about. It's about entering into eternal life that we don't deserve because God loves us. And his plan right from the beginning of time was that we would have a relationship with him. So yeah, because of God's grace, I receive eternal life and a promise of heaven, though I do not deserve them. We cannot do anything to deserve the grace of God. It's a gift. Okay, we receive it through salvation. Both mercy and grace come to us through our salvation in Jesus. So as soon as we get saved, God's blood, Jesus' blood was shed so that we could be covered with the mercy and grace that he intended for us to live within. Which we could go home and I'm sure think about that and meditate on that for the rest of the week, and God would just give us fresh revelation about purely our salvation in him and all that we can have from that. I receive eternal life and a promise of heaven, even though I don't deserve it. Both mercy and grace come through our salvation in Jesus. Amazing. But another description of the word grace, it can also be defined as God's sufficiency. Okay, God's fullness in life. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 and 10. I'll just give you a second to get there. Okay, and it says this. My grace is always sufficient to meet your need, he told me. My power is revealed more perfectly through your weakness. This is why I am happy to boast about my weakness, for then Christ's power will work through me. Yes, for Christ's sake, I even delight in being so weak, in suffering rejection and hardships, in being persecuted and having to face so many difficulties. For the more I am aware of my own weakness, the more I can depend on his strength. God's grace working in us supplies the completeness we need to get the job done. Amazing. And it's a free gift. So we can't do anything for it. We just receive it. When we come to know Jesus, we make that decision that we want to live for him, we receive the completeness we need for the call. And every one of us, as Pastor Shane would say, have got seeds of greatness within us. We've all got a destiny. And as soon as we get saved, we've got the completeness of Christ within us to get the job done.
Yes.
Every day he supplies our more than enough. Just like God provided bread for Moses and the Israelites when they were in the desert, he provided what they needed for each day. Okay, it was fresh every morning. What they kept from one day to the next actually perished. Oh, fresh bread every morning. Can you imagine? Oh, let's not talk about bread. Not when we're fasting. It's not cool. That is definitely my downfall. But can you imagine waking up every morning, Moses and the Israelites, and there's fresh bread. Oh, do you think it smelt like fresh bread? I don't know. No, I know, but now I'm fixated with the thought of fresh bread. So in Exodus 16 and 16 to 21 is where we're just nipping to next. And it says this. So Moses told them, "It's the bread God has given you to eat. And these are God's instructions. Gather enough for each person, about 2 quarts per person. Gather enough for everyone in your tent." Very clear instructions here. Okay. The people of Israel went to work and started gathering. Some more, some less. But when they measured out what they had gathered, those who gathered more had no extra. And those who gathered less weren't short. Each person had gathered as much as was needed. Moses said to them, "Don't leave any of it until morning." But they didn't listen to Moses. A few of the men kept back some of it until morning. It got wormy and smelled bad, and Moses lost his temper with them. And I just love that picture of, you know, what we save for tomorrow that should have been used for today. It smells bad and gets wormy. Because God's enoughness is new every morning. The word says his grace and mercy is new every morning. And I know this is not a word, but it can be a phaseism. But I like to think of this grace as God's enoughness. Yeah. The enoughness, the completeness, the fullness. More than enough. By this, what we mean is that God is enough no matter what the situation is that we're facing.
Yeah.
Okay, his enoughness, his fullness, his completeness is new every morning. His grace is new every morning. And I think this week, every time I've thought about his grace, I've just thought of that word, enoughness. For me, like, I love that word. It's like his enoughness. Today I've got the fullness of him. I've got everything that I need, more than enough than what I need to do today. I've got more than what I need to do all that he's called me to today. I haven't got to do it on my own. It's not by might or by power, but by his Holy Spirit, the completeness of God at work in me. So, obviously, we need God's grace. Okay, we need it first and foremost for our salvation. Or we receive it first and foremost through our salvation. Without the grace of God, we haven't got eternal life. Okay, it's a gift. It's a gift. It comes hand in hand with salvation. But we also need the grace of God to walk out our daily life with him. We are weak. In our own strength, we're weak. We're easily led. We can look to the left and the right, but with God's grace, with his fullness, with his completeness, we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And in John 15, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "Stay living in me and I will continue to live in you. It is impossible for any branch to be fruitful if it is separated from the vine. It has to continue to live in the vine. In the same way, it would be impossible for you to bear fruit if you were not to remain living in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches in the vine. Anyone who continues to live in me, and I in him, will be abundantly fruitful. But outside of me, you can do absolutely nothing. And I love that reminder, you know, that God's saying, in me you've got this, this and this, but without me, forget it. You haven't got anything. You've just got yourself, which is pretty awful. It's a bit wormy and smells bad. A bit like that bread. But I love that, you know, God, you know, that he supplied for Moses and the Israelites all that they needed in the morning to get the job done. Every day is sufficient. Their fill. It's a bit like the little boy with the loaves and the fishes, if we want to look at a New Testament version. You know, there was more than enough. It looked like nothing, but in the hands of God, in the hands of Jesus, when he broke it and he blessed it and he offered it up to the Father first for his blessing, there was not just enough for everyone to be full. There was more than enough. There was stuff left over. And every day when we get up and we seek God and we rely on him and we call on him and we draw near to him and we ask him for that fresh grace, that fresh enoughness, he gives us all that we need to carry out whatever we're doing in that day. And it might not seem very much that you're doing in that day, but every day we live for Jesus. Every place we go, we take him with us. Every person we connect with, God's got something that he might want to say to that person through you. And you have got the enoughness of Christ in you. Okay. But God provides daily strength through his grace working in us. His grace and mercy is new every morning, ready and waiting for us to access. So then what we should do is believe that he will provide what is promised and walk with the assurance of his grace. Okay, it's ready for us every morning. God, I'm ready to receive the fullness of grace and mercy this morning. I'm ready to receive the completeness that you've got for me, and I'm going to walk it out. Yeah. So when we get that understanding, when we start to get a grip of that, we can say, I declare I have the grace I need for today. We're declaring we have the fullness, the enoughness of God to deal with all that today holds. He never gives us more than we can deal with while we're walking with him. He never does. It might seem like it sometimes, but his enoughness, as we draw on him, as we hold on to him, it's enough to deal with whatever we're going to face every day. So the next part of our declaration is, I am full of power. Okay, I just want to say at this point that we are full of the power at work through us. Okay, we are not full of power. Okay, it's not by might or by power, but by my Holy Spirit, said the Lord. Apart from the Holy Spirit at work in us, we're useless. Okay, this declaration is all about him at work in us, his Holy Spirit at work in us. We are not superheroes. As much as my husband would like to think that he is the Incredible Hulk, he actually isn't. Although he's very strong and we love him and he's powerful, he doesn't have the same superheroes as the Hulk. Okay, I'm sorry to disappoint everybody that thinks that Steve is the Hulk. But he has got the superpower of the Holy Spirit in him, which makes him even more powerful than the Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay, is that better? He's smiling now. He's smiling again. Okay, so we're full of power because God is at work in our lives, not for our benefit, okay? It's for the benefit of the Father, okay? It's for the benefit so that the Father can be glorified. However, oh dear, there is a requirement, okay? We have to be obedient. I always seem to talk about obedience. Yes, it is. Well, thank you. Not sure that God would agree with that all of the time. So when I was reading this, I was looking at John 14, and there's the prayer of faith, it's called. And I was thinking about the Holy Spirit at work in us, but we've got to choose to access the power of the Holy Spirit. It requires something of us. We can wake up every morning and say, oh, I've got the grace and mercy of God. I'm full of the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't put legs on it, it's pointless. We're not going to be nation changers if we don't be obedient to what God's asking us to do. And that might not be something massive, okay? We're not talking about going into all the nations and being a superhero for God. Some of us might be called to do that. Some of us just might be called to live our lives according to the way that he's called us to live and to make a difference in people's lives that we come into connection with. And that in itself is nation changing. It's life changing for the people.
Yes.
But John 14, 12 to 21 says this. I tell you the truth. anyone who puts his faith in me will do the things that I have been doing. He will be able to do even greater things than these because of what will happen when I return to be with the Father. And I give you this promise. I will give you whatever you ask in my name. And in this way, the Son will bring further glory to the Father. Yes, you can ask me for anything in my name that is within my will, and I will surely do it. The evidence that you love me will be seen in the way you obey what I command you to do. To enable this obedience, when I return to heaven, I will ask the Father to replace me with another counselor exactly like me, who will remain with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because those who belong to the world neither see the way he works nor do they know him. But you know him, for this Spirit of truth lives within you and soon will be with you. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Soon the world will not be able to see me any longer, but you will see me because I live in you. You will also live filled with my life. Then you will know for sure that I am the one with the Father. You are one with me and I am living in you. Wow, that's amazing. So when we got saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what enables us to be able to pray and do even greater things than Jesus did. That means that we can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Not because of the power that we have, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in us. So that people in the world can see the power of the Father, can see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. They can see how much God loves them. And I love that song. When we were young, we used to sing it all the time. Me, Helen and Lisa. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands or feet on earth but yours. And just that encouragement that we are now Christ's hands and feet on the earth. And as we access the power of the Holy Spirit and we work it out in our lives, we can truly declare, I am full of strength and power, because that's what the Holy Spirit's here for. Okay, so when we declare I'm full of power and strength, it all comes from the Father through the Holy Spirit, hand in hand with our love and obedience to the Father. Today, we are full of the power of heaven. Okay, today you are a force at work for the extension of the kingdom. So we're just going to declare that over ourselves. Yeah. Today, I am
full of the power of
heaven. I'm a force at work. For the extension of the kingdom. It's the truth. It's the truth. Okay, in the word, Jesus said, you will do even greater things than me. It's a promise. Okay, it's a promise of the Holy Spirit working through you. Today and every day, we can access the full power of heaven. Today and every day, you are full of the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a game changer in the lives of other people. When they come in contact with you, you become a game changer in their life because of the Holy Spirit at work. You are nation changers, okay? Not for our glorification, but for the glory of the Father. Today, you are full of power, the supernatural, amazing power of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to break this down to the last part of this declaration, okay? I'm full of determination. Yeah. I love this one.
Yeah. Come
on. Determination. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so what does determination mean? You can have a shout out if you want. Whoa. That's good. Anybody else? Any ideas? I like it. So I looked it up in the dictionary because I wanted to get it right. Okay. Determination is a firmness of purpose, to be resolute, a fixed intention or resolution. Ooh, I love the word determination. It gets me excited just thinking about it. It means it's perhaps going to be a little bit of hard work as well, though. So being determined, I was thinking, it means that we are running a marathon, we're not running a sprint, okay? And it's remembering that. Marathon runners and sprinters, they train differently because there's a different requirement from them. Okay, there's a different endurance level required for a sprinter than a marathon runner. A marathon runner is rubbish at sprinting. A sprinter is rubbish at a marathon. Simple. Their endurance levels are different. Their training is different. And we're training right now for a marathon. We're not training for a quick sprint, but we're in it for the long haul. We're in it to win it. Okay. And I love this scripture. Philippians 3. Okay, we're going to look at 12 to 16. And it says, I do not claim to have received all that God has for me, neither have I yet been made perfect. But I am always moving forward to take hold of everything that Christ Jesus had planned to give me when he laid hold of my life. Brothers, I know I have not yet appropriated everything, but I maintain my focus, so I forget what lies behind me in the past and I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Yes, I press on towards my goal, which is to gain the prize that God has for me when he calls me home to heaven in unity with Christ Jesus. If you are mature in the way you view spiritual things, then you will think in the same way. If you believe differently, God will bring the correction you need and make everything clear to you. At least continue to live in the good of what you have already received, but do not slip back. I love it. It's such an encouraging scripture. Yeah. And I like this one. My dad loves this scripture as well. I always remember when we were younger, he'd always say, we've not yet got there. We're still pushing on towards the prize. Don't give up. Don't hold back. We're not there yet. We've not yet got everything that God's promised for us. We've not seen all those promises come to pass yet. We can't give up. We can't give up. We can't give up. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep going until we see God come to pass. Everything that is promised. Not giving up. I'm not giving up until we've seen 400. And then we're still going to push on because that's just the beginning. And I was thinking about determination and the times that I've literally had to set my face like flint in the face of adversity and hang on to God for all I'm worth. It's tough. Okay. Determination is tough. We can't just ban that word around because it's tough, all right? But every one of those times has deepened my relationship with God. Not giving up when I've wanted to. Giving up is not an option, all right? We have to keep pushing on towards that goal that is talked about in Philippians. We have to. It's not optional. Okay, Steve and I have been preparing ourselves, and God called us to fast for a particular time because we'd got a meeting coming up. We're like, right, we're going to fast until that meeting. And then we got a phone call in the week and said, oh, I'm really sorry, but we've had to postpone the meeting for another 2 weeks. And I was like, God, are you having a joke or what? Seriously? You want us to fast until this point, and now you've just extended it. But we had the conversation, we're like, no, we've set our face like flint. We're going to be determined. And Jay and Rosemary had come for lunch at Pastor Lynn and Brian's the other day, and we were in the post office. And Brian said to me, well, can you just take this back to Pastor Lynn's with you, please? It's only the fresh bread that he bought from the co-op. And all of you that know me will know that my downfall in life is fresh bread. I love it. The smell of it. It was in the car. I thought I was going to die, literally. I've never been so tempted in my whole entire life. The car was full of the smell of this amazing fresh bread. I was like, I'm not going to be tempted. I'm going to set my face like flint. I don't want any bread anyway. Who wants to eat fresh bread? It's horrible. It's wormy. It's moldy. It's smelly. It's really disgusting. But, you know, joking aside, in this, you know, this season that Steve and I have been going through, we've literally at some points in the last few months had to set our face like flint and go, it's really difficult, it's really hard, it's really trying, we've had to go through some stuff, but this is what God said, and we've hung on to God, and we've hung on to God, and we've hung on to the promise, and we've hung on to what he said, and regardless of how it might look or what it might look like, we've been determined, and we know that God is going to bring fruitfulness from it. Amen. It's been hard. There's been tears. There's been tantrums. There's been strops. Not just with one another. No, not with one another at all. But, you know, we've hung on to God. We've declared the word of God, because when you're going through a time of determination and endurance, the only thing sometimes you can hold on to is the word of God. This is the most important thing of your walk with God. This Bible, this word, this instruction has everything you need to be able to set your face like flint and hold on to God regardless of what's going on. I love the word determination, but it means it's going to be hard work. It means that at some point there's going to be a breaking. Okay, I was thinking about marathon runners, and at some point within their run, regardless of how well trained they are and how high their endurance level is, there becomes a point where they want to give up. It's painful. If I can just get through this mile, everything's going to be all right. And as they run through that pain threshold, the breakthrough comes. When they've got through that point of endurance, the rest is easy. Well, apparently the rest is easy. I'm not sure about that. I don't like running. Ask Steve. We did about 6 weeks of Couch to 5K, and I was like, I don't like running. Don't like it. Does not suit me. And when I was praying, I was like, oh, really, really need an example of determination. And God said, well, hello, Jesus. Jesus was the best example of determination. Okay. On occasions, he wanted to give up. I'm sure when he was carrying that cross through Jerusalem to his death, and he carried that heavy burden, the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, I'm pretty sure that he wanted to give up. In fact, we read in Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus said this: I feel I could die of grief. So great is my sorrow. Stop here and keep praying for me. Jesus went a little further by himself and he fell to the ground and prayed. My Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me, if it is at all possible. Yet I want your will above any desire of my own. Even Jesus' heart was, God, if it is at all possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, God can call us to be determined because Jesus has already done it. Jesus has already been determined to go to the cross. Therefore, he knows what it takes to endure the call. And if Jesus can endure the call, then his Holy Spirit in us enables us to endure the call as well. Though every part of Jesus kept his eyes firmly fixed on the Father, Jesus set his face like flint to do the Father's will. Jesus was determined to carry out the plan for salvation. Jesus was determined to do the Father's will. He was determined to death. He struggled too. So it's okay to struggle, but don't let the struggle overpower the call. Call on the Father and he'll enable you. Let his will be done in your life. Be determined. His grace is sufficient. The power of the blood is at work. Determination. Be determined to be about the Father's will. The love of Jesus for the Father's will. It was a love that never let go. A love that was determined. A love that was gracious. A love that was powerful. A love that was all-consuming. A love that broke through the hardest of hearts and the hardest of places. A love that never gave up. A love that keeps on giving. A love that keeps on flowing. That love is at work today in you and through you. Our love for him should be a determined love, a powerful, consuming love. With a love like this, we can not only declare, I am full of determination, but we can be determined. It's active. We can't just make this declaration. We have to put legs on it. A determined marathon runner never starts the race thinking that I can just give up halfway through. He starts the race determined to finish whatever it takes. He's determined to get to the end. Wow. So, to conclude this morning, in order for us to live out this declaration, we need to recognise that every day we have God's enoughness. We have all we need for today. In fact, we have more than we need for today. With God right at the centre of our day, we have the enoughness of him. When we were born again and living a life of love and obedience to the Father, we can know that it's not by might or by power, but by the Holy Spirit at work in us, that we can be full of strength and full of power. And just like Jesus was, determined to see our purpose fulfilled. We can live a life of determination. When it gets tough, we need to dig our heels in and hang on to God with all that we have. God is not going to let us down. He never has, and he never will. He's called you, and each day he is the one that enables you. And every day that means that we can say, I have the grace I need for today. I'm full of power and strength and determination. We are enabled by him to live it out in all his fullness. And I pray today that you would have a fresh revelation of the Father's grace. God, I thank you that today we have the grace that we need for today. Father, I thank you that by your Holy Spirit we are full of power and strength, and we can live a life full of determination to fulfill the call that you've placed on us. However that might look right now, however it might work out, whatever the future holds, it's not about looking back. It's about pushing on to what is before us. God, I pray today for a fresh revelation for all of us, God, that we would know that goal that is set before us, God, that we can hold on to it, that we can persevere, that we can be determined. I pray today, God, right now for a fresh revelation of the enoughness of God in our lives. I pray right now, God, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, that we would, we have all that we need already, God, in you. And I pray, God, today that we'd have a fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, God, that you are the one that enables, that you are the one that goes before us, that you are the one that is our rear guard, that God, you are the one that provides. And God, I pray that today we would be a people that set our faces like flint, God, to pursue you. God, that we would be determined to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in our lives. God, that we'd be a people that set our faces like flint today to see your kingdom come, to see salvation come, to see lives change. That we'd take a hold of the fact that we are nation changers, that we are game changers in the lives of the people that we come into contact. And God, I made that declaration that today we are full of the grace of God. That we are full of strength, that we are full of power, and we are full of determination because of all that you have done. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Jesus. Let's say that together, shall we?
Yeah.
Go on, you lead us in that, Faye. Let's make that declaration together.
Okay, I declare.
I declare.
I have the grace.
I have the grace.
I need for today.
I need for today.
I am full of power.
I am full of power.
I am full of strength.
I am full of strength.
And I am full of determination.
I am full of determination.
Amen.
Excellent. Thank you, Faye. That was great, wasn't it?